Next Friday night, Van Dyke Field, FNM Bank Stadium, Galesburg Silver Streaks will open their season. In football, they'll take on the Dunlap Eagles tonight out there. It's Meet the Streaks tonight for the Silver Streaks. Second-year head coach joining us here this morning, Mike Washabaugh. Coach, how you doing this morning?
Very good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming in with us here this morning. So year number two, here we go, getting ready to get things started. I'm guessing there's at least a little bit of excitement going on with the program at this point.
Yeah, for sure. It's been an exciting week, you know, kind of transition of opening up camp. We have our second scrimmage of the week. We went pretty heavy on Tuesday and then two recovery days, and then we're cutting it loose tonight.
There have been so many rule changes, and a lot of them for the good, mostly for protection of the players, whether it comes to concussions and or whatever the case may be. But just you were talking about some of the things off the air and some that I didn't know about, like, you know, the number of snaps that a say a freshman or a sophomore can take, or at the varsity level. There's been a lot over the last few years.
Right. So it's kind of restructured our conference and basically everybody's approach. So freshmen will move to Friday nights for the 5 o'clock kickoff game. Varsity will be at the 7:30 start time, and then true JV games will be moved to Monday. That kind of eliminates the sophomore game. The old setup, we used to play sophomore varsity, but with a lot of the new rules, you can't play in two games on the same night, can't play in back-to-back days. So again, that would kill some of our freshmen that dress sophomore to play from Friday night to Saturday. So that's kind of restructured a lot of that. So those JV games on Mondays would be like any non-varsity starter, sophomore, juniors, or seniors. You know, which definitely helps when our numbers have been good, which they are now. The Quincy's of the world that are, you know, covering around 1,800 kids, and definitely Moline with 2,200 kids, they end up with a lot of juniors and seniors that aren't starting. And, you know, it's kind of that gap year of transition to where they're not able to get on the field. So it allows for that opportunity. You know, we're in the same boat. I think we're going to be dressing 20 juniors down on the JV team. But that gives them opportunities instead of just staying in the back of the line during indie drills or during scout team.
Yeah, that's one of the great thing about JV, which you don't hear about that a lot anymore, in that especially when you got a senior heavy group that are talented and those underclassmen aren't going to get as much playing time, this gives them a chance to still play and develop. I know when I was in Indiana for a couple of years, that was their setup. It would be JV in both basketball and football, JV and then the varsity game. And again, yeah, same thing. It wasn't just juniors on down. It was some seniors that didn't get much playing time either.
Right, just you know, a history lesson. 2-3 years ago, 2016, we were able to do the same thing. We negotiated with Dunlap and LP for those first two games to play JV mentality games. Clark Hawkins starts both of those games, you know, junior. Jacob Ross is a senior, returning starter, so kind of buried on the depth chart. Starts both those games, gets some game experience. Jacob Ross gets hurt week 8, and then we're hosting Peoria High, number one in the state, 5A, week 9. You know, whether we win that game or not, I don't know. He came out and slung the ball around. It was 22-28, but without starting those two games and developing, like, you know, who knows where we're at. So it definitely, it's not just like, and I tried to sell it to our guys, it's not a demotion. Like, we want guys to develop. You know, there's some varsity guys that are personnel guys, so maybe they'll play 5, 10, 15 snaps in the varsity game, but we still want you to develop at your natural position because you got to win for us next year or this year later in the year.
Coach Mike Washabaugh, Galesburg Silver Streaks, they open their season next Friday night. They'll take on the Dunlap Eagles once again. Let's talk a little bit about the schedule. It's a tough schedule. I mean, I know you feel, and talking with Eric Matthews and even Dr. Asplund, talking about how you're going to be improved. Whether the record shows it or not remains to be seen, but even with improvements, it's and you knew coming in, we knew Sterling and Geneseo were going to be coming in, they're going to be on the schedule this year. So you do have some winnable games on there. Dunlap, where a game that you're right there on the cusp of winning that one last year, then you'll take the road to Centralia, then you go through through the gauntlet after that for, what, 4 weeks in a row?
Last year, you know, just kind of recapping on that, you know, I view it as 8 of our 9 opponents for playoff material. To say Geneseo wasn't a playoff team at 4-5, I mean, they came out down and handily beat us physically 28-0, you know, so they're one game away from that. You know, it's a lot of repeat, just kind of sub out Sterling, who's been in quarters, semis for the last 3 years, sub Rochelle, who's a perennial playoff team for them, and then throw Centralia, who had made the playoffs 4 years out of the last 5. Last year, they're 1-8. Their quarterback from 2 years ago is competing at SIU right now to be the starter. So he graduated. They're kind of in transition last year. You know, Coach B down at Centralia does a great job. He's an SHG grad. They throw the ball over the place. So they're going to be prepared. You know, so it's going to be 9 weeks of playoff-style football. You know, and then you kind of get to that week one of the playoffs. You know, if we drop into 5A, I feel like we're very, very battle-tested. You know, going through our schedule just like the 2016 season.
Let's talk Meet the Streaks tonight. What will people expect to see? What's going to be kind of the format first off?
Yeah, I thought Coach Doherty did a really good job enhancing it, kind of with the barbecue aspect to get people in there. We've included probably 2 or 3 years ago the junior highs into it. This year, including the soccer. So we want to make it a community event. I mean, go look at other big schools around Western Illinois, for that fact, around the country, and just kind of what they do to make it more of a community event. So 7th and 8th grade will start at 5:30. They'll have their 25-minute scrimmage running clock at both ends, so they'll be 15 in. And then we'll have our freshman scrimmage from 6 to 6:30. And then our JV travel roster scrimmage will be 6:30 to 7. And then soccer will have the stadium from 7 to 8. And then we'll do our varsity scrimmage, which will be like a 20-minute running clock, offensive-oriented scrimmage.
All right. So it should be a great night, and you get to meet all the players and everything. And I know Eric Matthews had mentioned yesterday adding the soccer, and I thought that was a great element to add to it also.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you're just trying to blow it up so you get as many people as you can in the stadium. You know, we've been very – I can't thank Coach Reddington enough. I think in my 8 years we've had – this will be our 5th soccer player, and of the last 4, they've all made all-conference kicking, you know, in football for us. So it's a huge piece. You know, everybody's a lot of people in the football world kind of like, well, soccer takes kids, does this. Like, I think it's a benefit in a program, you know, small school or big school. Like, if kids don't have leg swing, they don't have flexibility. Like, you can't teach that when they're juniors, seniors. So having that opportunity and being able to work that out has just been tremendous with Coach Reddington. So it's just kind of the next step of that.
Mike Washbaugh, Galesburg High School head football coach in his second year. Good news is numbers are up, it seems like.
Yeah, I inherited, I think, 55 from Coach Doherty, sophomore through senior last year, so depth was an issue. Some top-end talent was a little bit of an issue. But I think we're, like, right at 77 right now, sophomore through senior. I think we're over 30 freshmen. You know, the goal is to get to 40 with school just starting last week. Trying to hit that number just because attrition does happen, move-outs do happen in our district. So, you know, my end-all goal is to get 40 at the freshman level, keep 30 out as sophomores, and then, you know, what happens. You know, if you can stay above 20 at the varsity, that puts us at 40 juniors and seniors, and, you know, those numbers are healthy for 5A, 6A football.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a matter in this day and age, especially with the enrollment, what it is. You got to get in the school and recruit, and even in the junior highs and everything, and recruit at this point, try to get athletes to come out and at least give the game a shot. And it seems like you've had some success with that so far.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, recruiting the hallways every day. We've done a great job. I've gotten 5 coaches in the building, including myself. We had 2 last year, so that's tremendous. You know, everything falls on me last year just at that level. But kind of investing in our lower levels, we're right at 90 right now for the Flag Football League. Which Coach Doherty and Mr. Ashby kind of restructured our commissioner of JFL. So there's first, second grade division, third, fourth grade division. And then JFL, we're hanging right around 40 plus just Galesburg kids, which allows us to have 3 Galesburg teams. So trying to invest and get kids playing in a non-contact way, especially first through fourth grade, so they get a taste of positivity, scoring, catching the ball, those sorts of things. You know, really trying to kind of match. I felt like football was definitely behind the way the baseball and basketball approaches early on. In the city of Galesburg, but trying to get kids playing the game early on and investing in them, because then your numbers, you're not trying to beg kids out their freshman year that are, you know, 6 foot plus, 200 plus and can play, but they've never played before. So really trying to invest early on in the community and in those kids.
Well, and one of the big things at those levels is learning fundamentals, and especially when you get into the contact side of it in the JFL. And that, you know, a lot of parents, well, I don't want my kid to get hurt. You know, if they are fundamentally sound, yeah, well, it doesn't matter what sport you're in. There's going to be injuries. Doesn't matter. And they're no more in football than any other sport. But if your child is fundamentally sound, if they learn to do things properly, it's less likely. And I can attest to that with my own son, my older son, who played. He wasn't, you know, he was 5'9 and a half and, you know, probably 165 when he played, and played linebacker most of his career just because he could tackle. He ended up by his senior year. Of course, he was playing defensive back. His only injuries throughout the whole thing, I think he tweaked an ankle in the homecoming game his senior year.
Yes, so kind of a loaded question on that. I'll kind of start at the beginning. So USA football model, trying to get kids out of contact until they hit 5th grade. So USA football is the biggest governing body. It used to be Pop Warner. They've really taken over. All the NFL money gets pushed towards that. So 1st through 4th grade, non-contact flag. Again, getting kids catching the ball, running around, having fun in a non-physical way. And then 5th and 6th grade, it ruffled some feathers in Galesburg because it was a change, but we dropped the 4th grade from flag football, so there's a year of transition 2 years ago. I think it's the right move. just because you get sixth graders going on fourth graders. You know, we don't do that at the varsity level, like guys that aren't ready. You know, so being able to control that in games and in practice is just huge. So it's on us to get more kids out and to get that fourth team back with fifth and sixth graders, because we're going to need those numbers when we get to the high school. Seventh and eighth grade, obviously, they're split. I think we're like at 38 eighth graders right now, hanging around 30 seventh graders, you know, recruiting the hallways every day with that. A big investment that we did was buying guardian caps for all 7th through and 8th graders. They fit over the helmet. They're supposed to reduce 33% of all 95th to 99th percentile hits that could happen to the head, which, again, how many of those truly do happen to junior high level?
Well, they're fewer and fewer, yes. Right, anyway, with the rule changes.
Correct, and just body types. Like, those don't happen as much at the youth level, but, again, just another safeguard. And then Eric Matthews, our AD, huge football proponent, safety, all those things. Our administration just has done a great job. We have 40 helmets that have sensors in them that our trainer has a Palm Pilot on the sideline, so it's tracking all 95th to 99th percentile hits. So anything that's over 95th goes off, buzzes. Again, it doesn't mean the kid has a concussion. It doesn't mean that they're hurt, but we're able to be alerted to that, and then it kind of tracks it for their week, so how many hits they accumulate. So if they hit over, you know, 5, 6, 7 hits of over 90th percentile type hits, then it beeps. You know, we go off, go and talk to them. And again, it doesn't mean that they have a concussion. It doesn't mean that they have any symptoms or anything, but it just gives us another safeguard. So again, my end all goal is that we put guardian caps on everybody, 5th grade through 12th grade. So they either have the guardian cap or they have the sensor. You know, that's the name of the game. To eliminate those things and to practice safely, the IHSA puts in a lot of protocols. We pass that down through our leagues. But just trying to, you know, educate our parents, like, I have kids. I'm never going to put my kids in that sort of situation. I love the game, you know, and a lot of those old school mentality things have changed, you know, but teaching coaches how to practice correctly, teaching kids how to practice correctly, and then putting in all the top of the line safety protocols, you know, it's key.
Well, and the other thing, it is not very likely that your child's going to go on and play after high school anyway. A few will. A few are good enough. Even less likely that you're going to have somebody play in the NFL, either top Division I or in the NFL. How many people have we had? The Kimbrohs back in the late 60s. We've had a few play Division I, major college football. Not that many. So it's not that likely. And the guys that have had the real problems with the CTE are guys that played for years and years and years, all the way up through the NFL for a long career, without the equipment they have today, without the rules they have today. So it's going to become less and less of a problem. So I understand the parents are, well, look what happened to these guys. Well, that's not going to be your child, because more than likely they're not going to play for that many years. They're not going to play for 8 or 10 years in the NFL. Two, the equipment's better. The rules have changed, so it's less likely they're going to take or give out those kind of hits also.
Correct. And we'll get the body types. I mean, like, you know, you go to an NFL game, there's a train collision every single play. Yeah. Every single one of those hits, like, those guys have been lifting their entire life. Body types, I mean, they're all NFL, you know, elite athlete body types. You know, go down to Division I football all the way to D3 football, same thing.
Yeah.
But at the high school level, like, you know, I'm just guesstimating this. I would say there's 5 to 10 95th percentile hits out of 170 to 220 snaps in a game. And then go down to middle school. Like, does it happen? Yes. I'm not saying that the big hits don't happen. But, like, safety, you know, peel back blocks. Again, you can't have a blindside block. Like, all the rules that have been put in to clean the game up, you know, that there's none of that old school, like, piling onto the pile or cherry picking somebody as they're going down on punt team. Like, those have been eliminated. Peel back blocks when guys don't see blocks coming. Like, we educate our guys on not to do that. You know, so I think the IHSA has done a great job, and then it just falls down on all the schools.
But I'll say, as much as I love basketball, guess what? If you get undercut or if you take a charge, you hit your head on the floor, guess what? It's your head on the floor. It's not in it. Your head's not in a helmet. Not going to be a good ending for you.
Yeah, very true. So,
Mike Washabaugh, Galesburg High School head football coach, joining us here this morning. So the numbers are up. What can fans expect? I know one of the things is whether you're going to pass the ball, throw the ball, got to have a line to block. And you had some struggles off and on with that last year, but it looks like that's going to be improved.
Yeah, I'm actually moving back out of my 14 years coaching. I've coached offensive line, defensive line, you know, just play calling, becoming head coach, kind of stepped in the quarterback role last year, gave up offensive line, defensive line, you know, and I felt like we got physically outmatched in 7 of the 9 games, which shouldn't happen. We returned 3 of our 5 starters last year on the offensive line. So completely unacceptable. So I've stepped back into that. It's actually made play calling easier because I know my guys up front can do, you know, I know their capabilities. So it's not like I'm handcuffed as a play caller, like, cross this off, cross this off, cross this off. Now I got 3 plays we can run. It's week 8, week 9. Like, so it's helped game planning. It's helped fixing issues. You know, I'm not asking somebody else, like, you know, why can't this go? Things like that. So that's definitely happened. You know, the run pass thing, I honestly don't keep a chart. If we need to run the ball and we can do it, we're going to. If we need to throw the ball 50 times, we're going to do it. You know, all men, we threw the ball 40 times last year. We lost 28-20. There's a lot of reasons why we didn't win that game. You know, penalties, missed field goals, inadvertent whistle when we scoop and scored to bring back a fumble. Like, there's a lot of reasons, but we threw the ball 40 times in that game. You know, and we kind of got to the version of where I think we're heading. You know, week 7, 8, and 9 with guys catching the ball, trying to get the box vacated. Because that's been the thing. You know, we've been tight end oriented because we have Patrick Bond, Jacob Carl. Patrick's going to be the starting super back at St. Ambrose. Jacob Carl's competing to be the starting F tight end at Illinois State. So a lot of our offense was geared around, you know, having two tight ends in the game all the time because they're, you know, your best personnel. Where now we're very deep a receiver. We still have talent at our. We still have talent at the quarterback position throwing and running. So just kind of, it's still our system, but, you know, skewing it to where we want to get our best personnel guys, you know, and if they're receivers, then, you know, we're going to be in that run-pass option of, is it a loaded box? Well, then throw the ball. Don't try to, you know, move people out of a gap. Like, take what they're given.
You know, one of the big things with a schedule that you're playing, you can't make mistakes. I mean, penalties, turnovers. I mean, with a schedule like this, and it's the same team for same thing for the other teams coming in here and looking at, especially in the Western Big Six Conference now.
Yeah, it's 9 weeks of playoff football. You know, you don't win the turnover battle and the penalty battle, you know, you're probably going to come up on the losing side. You know, just pointing out the Dunlap game last year, 7-7 at halftime. We put the ball on the ground on our side of the 50 early on in the third quarter. You know, two easy short field scores, 21-7 game. You know, I thought the kids battled. You know, I think there was things that we could have cleaned up and we could have definitely done better, got more going other than Kobe last year. But, you know, I mean, that's I feel like all 9 games are going to be like that. You know, it's like it's a college-level mentality. It's a high school, you know, high-level playoff game mentality. Everybody's coached up that we play. They have talent. So it's just managing the game, exploiting when we know we can get big plays and, you know, trying to create those opportunities for our kids.
Mike Washabaugh, head football coach, Galesburg High School, joining us here this morning. Before we wrap up, some changes on the coaching staff. A couple of guys that have gone on to become head coaches, and obviously you encourage that. And Grant Goldstrand out at Mid-County now, and Brad Swanson has gone to Kewaunee, retirement as well. So some changes on your staff.
Yeah, so just kind of going, our school district provides 6 stipends, so that gives us 7 coaches, which is below everybody that we play, you know, because we field 3 levels. The ideal thing is to have 4 guys at each level, then you can split up positions. So we're trying to get to that mark of 12, whether that's volunteer coaches, mixed in with stipend coaches, whatever that is. Again, I came here in 2012. We had 11 coaches at that time. You know, I probably wouldn't have came here if there was only 6 coaches, 6 assistant coaches. So that was like being more physical from last year at every single position, you know, up front definitely. And then we have to get a staff the size of what it was when I came here, or staff the size of at least close to the people that we're playing, because you can't do it with 95 kids and 7 guys. So we've gotten that number up to 11. Jay retired, 33 years in the district, 33 years Galesburg football. Obviously, he's like a walking encyclopedia of Galesburg football yeah. information, you know, and it was a great, great resource. Like, I was able to go to him, you know, and I was flustered at times last year, like, how do we approach this? Boom, I was able to go to him. Well, you can do it this way, or if you do it this way, it's going to happen this way. So it was just tremendous last year. Grant Goldstrand, obviously going to Mid-County, did offensive line last year, and then Brad Swanson did defensive line, went to Kewaunee. So a lot of restructuring. We have Marty Turner, my defense coordinator, returning. Derek Blackwell's returning. Eli Simmons, who played for me at Rock Ridge, will be his second year as a math teacher over Lombard. He's returning. And then a lot of the new guys. Sean Kane, obviously a name that's very synonymous with Galesburg football. 1991 starting quarterback in that playoff game.
Running the option.
Yep. He's taking over quarterbacks, which allows me to get back to the line play. Rob Hall, an arena football guy that coached 7th grade for us last year, we were able to cultivate him. I brought him up to the varsity staff. And then Jake Tenhouse, the Carl Sandburg College baseball coach, he was a high school quarterback. He's kind of in transition in between jobs right now before he lands his next baseball job. So another high-level coach. You know, he won 2 conference championships, you know, and over the last 2 years he was at Sandburg. So he's done a tremendous job building that up. So even though he hasn't been a football guy till since he was high school, like just the head coaching questions, like yeah. he fills a huge role for with Jay losing Jay. And then lower level, we have Eli Simmons, our head freshman coach. Matt Hawkins just finished playing Division I football at Butler last December, graduated. He's back working on the farm. So obviously he played for me. He was a junior my first year in 2012. So he's been in the system. Easy transition, great with kids. He wants to be around the game. Matt Russell, he's going to be another freshman coach. He comes from Mount Vernon. He's from the suburbs originally. He's taught the last 3 years there and is teaching science at the high school. And then Jake Ferguson, who played strong safety for us on that 2014. That was the first team that won the Western Big Six title in 23 years, made it to the playoffs. We lost to PND. He played strong safety for us. He works on the railroad, and then he's going to be a volunteer at the freshman level. So it gets us as close to, you know, staff size as what Tim had when I first came here, and we're able to kind of turn the corner a little bit.
So, well, some great names, even like talking about Jake. That winning mentality is just so important, even from a coach.
And Tim and I have talked about that, like, just over the time. Like, we need these kids, since we've turned the corner around here, that are moving back and working in the community. And since we've turned the corner and just the change of, like, winning mentality, we got to get those guys back. And we're finally starting to get the fruits of that labor. Like, guys are graduating college, you know, moving back to Galesburg. And guys that have been big-time players for us, you know, to have those around our kids now, like, to, for our kids to see that. It's not just Coach Wash up there preaching all this stuff and posting articles up in the locker room, but, like, they're actually able to see it on a daily basis.
Well, yeah, like with Matt Hawkins, these kids still know who he is. It's not been that long, and he's just coming off, yeah, like I said, playing college football, so they see that, and he still looks like a college football player.
For sure. He is down weight. I think he played
is he? Okay.
I think he played at 298 last December, and he's down to, like, 260 now.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, looking forward to it. Sounds like it's going to be a really fun season, a tough schedule, but you want to be challenged, though, right? I mean,
for sure. I mean, that's the mentality, and, you know, you get in the playoffs and you're battle tested, and it's not like you're, you know, I've been on the other end of that at some other schools to where you're 9-0, 8-1, 7-2, haven't played a lot of high level opponents, and then you play somebody who's 5-4, 6-3 out of a tough conference, and you're going home after hosting a first round playoff game, you know, and I don't think that's been the issue at Galesburg, but we're definitely gonna be battle tested, you know, when we get there.
Yeah, Joliet Catholic coming at 5-4, you know they're going to be pretty good.
Perfect example right there. Not that the Western Big Six was weak that year, but just their league and that style of play, playing in the Catholic League up there.
So Meet the Streaks tonight. What time does it get underway? 5 or
5:30 will be 7th, 8th grade. Freshman will be 6, and then JV 6:30, and then varsity will go at 8 after the soccer one.
So get out and support the Streaks tonight at Van Dyke Field at F&M Bank Stadium. And then, of course, next Friday night, it'll be the season opener and opening at home with the Dunlap Eagles. Again, that's next Friday night. Coach Mike Washbaugh, head coach of the Galesburg Silver Streaks. Mike, always appreciate your time. Best of luck this season.
Thank you.